Welcome to the Harmony Pittsburgh Baptist Association Leadership Podcast, a podcast designed to encourage pastors, to equip leaders, and to engage the community with the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Jeremy Randolph. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we are in the fifth chapter of the book Misled by Alan Parr. Today, we discuss chapter 5, What Does Progressive Christianity Teach? Pastor Joel Davis of First Baptist Pittsburgh is bringing our message today.
Probably like many of you, I watched the Super Bowl on Sunday evening, and I was just content to sit there and watch the game. And I did not, honestly, watch too many of the commercials. I was just doing other things. But when you know, things catch your attention sometimes. And we have been seeing over the last couple of years this He Gets Us campaign. And I've seen enough of them that as soon as it starts, I know exactly what it is. And so, but this one that they showed, the initial one that they showed during the Super Bowl, was a little different. It wasn't all black and white. They were images that were in color. They were generated by AI, by artificial intelligence. And they were displaying images of people washing the feet of other people, which we know is a Christian symbol, Christ washing the feet of his disciples. But these were unique representations of that. I don't know what to call them. The characters in these pictures were representative of larger groups within our society. And so you had, the first scene was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was a police officer washing the feet of, you know, an African-American male. We might assume that he's a Black Lives Matters individual. And it rolls on. Then the one that kind of catches people's attention is, because a couple of them just are just, you know, they don't really communicate much. But then there is one about right in the middle of the commercial of a lady. A white, it looks like a suburban mom, we're presuming a Christian, outside of an abortion clinic, washing the feet of a young lady that, you know, we presume is either getting an abortion or has just had an abortion. And in the background, there are other, what we'll assume are white Christian protesters holding signs protesting abortion. The final scene, the one that is on the screen the longest, and I'm assuming that most of y'all have seen this or at least heard about it, is a white male clergyman or priest of some sort, and they're at a beach. I'm assuming in California. These things happen in California. But washing the feet of an obviously effeminate, a gay black man. And then the screen fades black and says, Jesus didn't teach hate. And so we've come to expect this from the He Gets Us campaign, is that it reinforces not Christian narratives, but cultural narratives about who is the oppressed and who is the oppressor, therefore who is the righteous in our society and who is the self-righteous, and therefore what actual righteousness and what Jesus would have done. So we're to understand that Jesus would have sat down and washed the feet of someone seeking an abortion or just having had an abortion, not protesting or standing up for the rights of the one about to be aborted. That's how we're to understand it. We're to understand it as if Jesus would have washed the feet of the transgender or homosexual black male instead of calling him to repentance because his sin is not good for him. And so it is a warped view. And by saying Jesus didn't teach hate, and the next commercial they ran was about loving your neighbor. And so these commercials communicate about love and hate without ever defining those terms, especially in biblical ways, because the culture has interpreted those for us. They have defined those words for us. So when this commercial is run, and by the way, I would say it is not run for Christians. I would say it is run for the world. I would say that it is not run in order to bring the world to Christ. I would say it is to affirm the world in their view that Christians are hypocrites. That's what I would say. But words like love and hate are not defined because the world has defined them for us. There have been many reactions to this, many responses to this commercial, and I'm taking a long time on this commercial. But what would have been great is for the BLM rider to have been washing the feet of the police officer, right? But that would have gone against the cultural narrative. The woman seeking an abortion to be washing the feet of the abortion protest. Those kind of things, the transgender man washing the feet of the priest. But that would go against the cultural narrative and may have presented Christianity in a positive light. So, progressive Christianity. I will go ahead and say at the outset, I do not believe it is Christianity. I think Alan Parr agrees with that, that it is a false religion. Progressive Christianity, you'll see right there in the middle of the page, this is my phrasing of this, my understanding, is all about acceptance. In that, Christians are to accept others so that, number one, they will accept us, Christians, and then hopefully, secondarily, accept Christ. Now, the goal should be that they would accept Christ. I don't care if they accept me or not. Because that's not going to say, as been said, that will not save them. But accepting Christ will save them. So this is where progressive Christianity is wrong from the outset. Because the goal is seeking acceptance from the world rather than seeking to get the world to accept Christ. But generally speaking, acceptance of a thing necessitates the rejection of another. Okay, in seeking their acceptance, then believers must reject, or progressive Christians reject something else. In seeking that acceptance, they are rejecting something else. So James 4:4, you adulterous people, which is, that would be a great commercial. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Seeking their approval is to be an enemy of God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. How are we to understand progressive Christianity? Just like that. That's what I would say. Is that it is that which is opposed to God. It is an enemy of God. Progressive Christianity has its roots in postmodernism, which rejects objective truth and reality in favor of relativism and uncertainty. That's a key word. If you're underlining uncertainty. Essentially, who am I to judge is what we'll hear. Now, I could not find it, but I remember this, these three bullet points from Tim Keller. It was in a little graph that he did, a little table that he did. I looked for it. I could not find it. But he talks about how we have perceived truth in the modern age and in the postmodern age. And so he says, before the modern age, truth was revealed, that we look to gods or angels or whatever else to give us truth. We would say as believers, we look to Scripture to give us truth. Then truth was discovered as we got into the modern scientific age. Now, we would all understand, I hope, those first two are great. Those first two have brought a lot of benefits into our lives. And there is truth in those things, revealed and discovered. The third, when truth is determined, is where we start to have the problem. Because the truth, therefore, is no longer an external reality, an objective reality. It becomes an internal thing that can be a personal thing. And so you've all heard my truth, your truth, and it means there is no truth. So the Center for Progressive Christianity on their website, which Alan Parr references in the book as a resource, but you go to their website, it says that they exist to support those who embrace the search, not certainty. So that is very, at that point, I mean, that is postmodernism. That there is no firm position. Everything is relative. Reality in and of itself is not a firm position. So the general idea behind the progressive Christianity movement is that the church needs to revisit and adjust its methods, practices, and beliefs as the culture changes. So that is what progressive means. It means that the culture is the defining force in how we operate and what we believe, not the Word of God. The unspoken message progressive Christianity is that traditional Christianity. The church and Christians are the problem, not the culture. So you begin to see why I think it's a false religion. It's a false faith because it is operating from the desire to be accepted. So we must change in order that we will be accepted by the culture. Again, going back to the Center for Progressive Christianity there at the top of page 2, to reach out to those for whom organized religion has proved ineffectual, irrelevant, or repressive. Whose side are they on? Obviously, if you see a problem with the bride of Christ, then there's a problem. As well as those who have given up on or unacquainted with it. So the idea is that we must change in order for the world to accept us. We must change Christ in order for the world to make it more palatable. This includes not only questioning church practices, but also church doctrines. And so Parr talks about the emergent church movement, which you may or may not be familiar with in the 1990s and the early 2000s. He says here are several hallmarks of the emergent progressive church movement. Prioritizing conversation over conclusions, which is hogwash. Let's just acknowledge that. It's just hogwash. Valuing asking questions over claiming to have answers. So there is a subservient position. It's not humility. It's false humility. It's that I am submitting myself to the world in that instance. I will not take a stand. I will not condemn because I don't want to offend. I want to be accepted. And it emphasizes that doubt is healthy and compatible with faith. What did Jesus tell Thomas at the end of the book of John? He says, do not disbelieve, but believe. That's the key. Do not disbelieve, but believe. So doubt is compatible. It's healthy, largely because it drives the process of questioning and staying engaged in conversation. So it is having this humble, uncertain, this constantly questioning posture, because nothing is certain. And I'm not going to sit in judgment on the world. I've lost track of time, Jeremy. I don't know how long I've been going. The key is questioning and doubting of Christian doctrine, teachings, and the source of both. That's key. It leads into questioning Scripture. In recent days, the postmodern progressive, it has led to what we call deconstruction. Anybody heard that term lately? That's the new phrase, is deconstruction. So if you want to know what progressive Christianity is, what it results in, it is this deconstruction. So got questions. On page 123, this is the definition that they give. Deconstruction is the process of questioning, doubting, and ultimately rejecting aspects of the Christian faith. That's the key. It's the rejecting. So this is where it leads, this posture of the world is primary. And again, that can come from a seemingly good motivation, that I'm trying to reach the world. And so in trying to be obedient and make disciples and reach the world, I'm going to be very humble, and I'm not going to be condemning because I want them to accept the gospel. But it ultimately results in rejecting the gospel, rejecting the Christian faith. So deconstruction has this, it values this skepticism, but the skepticism leads to the surrender of the Christian faith to the current cultural values. It is a giving over. It is a surrender. In trying to reach the world, we are surrendering to the world. So that's a general overview. Let's go with five tendencies of the progressive movement. And these may get you a little frustrated. They should get you a little frustrated. A low view of Christ is tendency number one. So they still maintain that Jesus is fully divine and fully human, but they emphasize the humanity more than the divinity of Christ. And in this, they are trying to show that Jesus is an example for us more than he is a savior for us. And this will come back around in the fifth tendency there. So what is the commercial? The commercial is he gets us, right? More than Jesus saves. And that's kind of the key there. He gets us. He sympathizes with us. He's an example for us more than Jesus died for your sins because you need a savior. Page 134, God gave us his son so that we might have eternal life. not just so that we'd have a better life here on earth. And that plays with, Zach, what you said about I'm glad that he died so that I get my best life, right? We'll not be here. It'll be there. Tendency two, inclusivism. Loving your neighbor. We have seen in recent years where loving your neighbor is defined by whatever they want you to do, right? It's whatever they want you to do. That is now loving your neighbor. But this is the highest good. It is now the goal of Christianity, is that we might love our neighbor. And again, we are not defining love in biblical terms. The world is defining, the culture is defining what that love is. So it is the way of saying, Christian, you are to do this if you're going to be like Christ. So non-Christians telling the followers of Christ what it means to follow Christ so that they might accept him. It is complete hogwash. This means that Christians love their neighbors by affirming them in whatever sin they choose. That's ultimately what it is. There's no call for repentance, which is loving your neighbor. There's no call to Christ. It is an affirming of their sin. It's come as you are and stay as you are mentality. Which the old saying goes, Jesus, you know, the old hymn, Jesus loves me just as I am, right? Y'all remember the old hymn? But he loves me too much to let me stay that way. That's not progressive Christianity. Progressive Christianity is come one, come all, and stay as you are. So inclusivism happens when the Christian principle of loving your neighbor is blended with and warped by the postmodern insistence on uncertainty and relativism. So there is no right and there is no wrong. So everyone's right and no one's wrong. That's what that boils down to. Everyone's right and no one's wrong. So this is going to play in. So progressive Christianity equates love with affirmation. If you will not affirm someone in their sin, you are not loving and you are not like Christ. It goes so far even to affirm other religions. And again, that progressive Christianity, that Center for Progressive Christianity, because we cannot be certain, because we are not condemning, because we are not calling to anything, Jesus Christ is no longer the way, the only way. He is a way. But again, this is a false religion. Tendency number three, a low view of Scripture. Since postmodernism rejects objective truth, it rejects the inspiration and the authority of Scripture. He says on page 129, it is useful, it is not inspired, it is useful for inspiration. But in order for it to be useful for inspiration, it has to be reinterpreted to mean something other than what it means. So by removing the Bible as the guide, as the rule for faith and practice for each believer, then each believer becomes their own authority. And those who hold to a high view of Scripture are seen as repressive and oppressive. Tendency number four, a relaxed view on moral issues. Parr goes into detail on homosexuality and abortion and how progressive Christianity views those things. But he says, in short, progressive Christianity allows the culture rather than the Bible to dictate what is moral and immoral. So, progressive Christianity, morality is constantly moving, and I would say a disappearing target. The highest morality is always acceptance, as if all Jesus came to do was to accept you as you are. Tendency number five, a rejection of the atonement, and this is where it all leads, is that they do not see what Jesus did on the cross as achieving God's forgiveness for our sin, but rather as a model for us to follow. So it removes the need for a Savior because it removes any weight of sin, any separation of sin. And when there is no sin, there is no need for a Savior. There's no separation from God. There's no wrath of a holy God. There's no eternity apart from God. And so ultimately, I'm okay, you're okay. We don't really need Jesus in the end, because God accepts us just as we are. The standout quote of the chapter, the major difference between how Jesus engaged these groups and how progressive Christianity engages them has to do with the ultimate goal of the engagement. Meaning, Jesus was trying to lead them to repentance and to a restored relationship with God. And progressive Christianity just wants to be accepted by these groups. So, the example of the rich young ruler, Mark 10, 21 and 22. And Jesus, looking at the rich young ruler, loved him. So what did Jesus do? He loved him. So they're saying, this is how you love me, right? This is how you love your neighbor. It says here in Scripture, he loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So the rich young ruler rejected Jesus, not the other way around. Jesus loved the rich young ruler, but the rich young ruler still would not come and follow Jesus. Yet Jesus was not willing to bend his standard of holiness in order to reach, to accept the rich young ruler as he was, because what he needed was repentance. So when we hear progressive, when we hear deconstruction, when we hear, man, love your neighbor nowadays, when we hear all these things, we need to see it as a false religion intended to rob the gospel of Jesus Christ, the need of the sinner, and the atonement that is provided.
That's going to bring this episode of the podcast to a close. We want to thank you for listening. If you have questions or want to know more about the broader work of our churches that make up the Harmony Pittsburgh Baptist Association, you can visit our website at www.harmonypittsburgh.com, or you can contact us here by emailing Jeremy, that's J-E-R-E-M-Y, at harmonypittsburgh.com. Once again, we thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode of the Harmony Pittsburgh Baptist Association Leadership Podcast.